Welcome. My name is Dr. Robert Schooley, Professor of Medicine at the University of California, San Diego. This is the IAS-USA module on HCV diagnostic testing. Today we're going to talk about the diagnosis of HCV infection, about how to communicate the results of this testing to the patient, and about how to link the patient to care once HCV infection is diagnosed. Starting with the diagnosis of HCV infection, the first step in this cascade is detecting HCV antibodies. HCV antibodies can be tested in a number of ways. Over the years, the testing for HCV antibodies has improved in several generations of tests. The first generation of tests, termed 1.0, EIA 1.0, looked for antibodies to only one region of the virus. But as tests have improved over the last decade, the new tests are now looking for antibodies to any one of four different regions of the viral genome. This increases both the sensitivity and specificity of the test, so we can now diagnose virtually all patients who have antibodies with these third-generation tests with a single test. In the earlier days, before the new assays had been developed, it was necessary to send a confirmatory test, which was more sensitive and specific than the ELISAs that were being used. This recommendation will be disappearing in the next several months as new guidelines catch up to the improved testing capabilities of the new diagnostic tests, the EIA 2.0 and 3.0. There are also ways to increase the specificity of the EIA tests using the signal-to-cutoff ratio, which is reported back to the physician ordering the test. This is a measure of the level of positivity of the test above the lower limit of detection and is depicted for each of the currently available tests in the third column on this graph. You can see, for example, that with the Abbott Architect anti-HCV antibody test, that if you have a signal-to-cutoff ratio of more than 5, there is more than 95% specificity of this test for a true HCV infection. These cutoffs have been developed by the FDA, testing thousands of samples in both high and low-risk populations to obtain the cutoff ratios listed here and are specific only to the test listed on this table. If the HCV antibody test is non-reactive, the testing for antibodies can stop, with one caveat, and that is if there has been an HCV exposure within the past 6 months, you need to repeat the test in 6 months because the patient may well have been in the incubation period between exposure, the time during which infection develops, and antibodies are detected. If the antibody test is reactive, you then need to determine whether or not the patient has a current HCV infection or is one of the people who has undergone an HCV infection but cleared the virus either because of treatment or because of an immune clearance mechanism during the initial infection period. The way to do this is to look for viral RNA, HCV RNA, with a commercially available test. In this cartoon, you can see that in the blue line, HCV RNA appears in the plasma before HCV antibodies appear. And depending on whether or not the patient undergoes an acute infection and clears it, the HCV RNA is either cleared over the course of 4 to 6 months after the initial infection or remains present. Several weeks after the HCV RNA appears, HCV antibodies appear in the plasma, and these remain for the life of the patient, regardless of whether or not the patient clears the infection. The likelihood of clearing the infection depends on a number of factors, including whether or not the patient is immunocompetent, whether the patient has HIV infection, and certain genetic aspects of the patient who's been exposed to HCV. In any given infection, the likelihood of clearing the virus is between 15% and 35% of the time once RNA has appeared, the virus will be cleared. Patients who clear virus are no longer considered to be infected, Do not have risk from ongoing HCV disease progression. Now, if the antibody test is reactive, you then send an HCV RNA test, and one of two results can occur. You can either not see HCV RNA, in which case you conclude that the patient is not currently infected with HCV. And again, if the patient has been exposed in the previous 6 months, or as clinical evidence of HCV disease, you should repeat the test again within 6 months, understanding the patient may well be in the window period. If HCV RNA is detected, you make the diagnosis that the patient is currently infected with HCV. Now, beginning in May of 2013, we anticipate the CDC guidelines will be streamlined quite a bit. So the primary test, a screening test, will be a second or third generation EIA or CIA, which will then reflex to a nucleic acid RNA test. And the confirmatory test will no longer be necessary. There are two general types of HCV RNA assays. HCV qualitative assays tell you whether or not HCV RNA is present. These are available in several different formats from several different manufacturers. The assays have different levels of sensitivity, as you can see in the third column. The lower limit of detection in these assays ranges from 10 to 50 international units per milliliter, which is the unit of determination used in all HCV RNA assays. Two of these assays, the Procleix and AmpliScreen assays, have been developed for large-scale screening of blood bank in blood screening, and they're not currently used for clinical medicine in individual patients. There are also quantitative assays, and these are more useful in following people on therapy. As the quantitative assays have improved, the sensitivity of these assays is very close to what the sensitivity is for HCV RNA assays that are only qualitative. In reality, because people who are chronically infected with HCV have very high levels of HCV RNA, a quantitative assay is generally quite sufficient for use in making a diagnosis of current HCV infection. The qualitative assays are more useful when one is looking for low levels of HCV RNA in a window period in blood donors, for practical purposes, a quantitative assay is really quite good in trying to diagnose an individual patient with chronic infection. After you've completed the laboratory testing, it's important to be able to communicate the results of the retesting to the patient. This requires an understanding of the implications of the test and the ability to communicate these implications to the patient. One possibility is the patient will have a negative HCV antibody test and will also have a negative HCV RNA test. And what this means is the patient is not currently infected with HCV, or possibly is in the very early window period between the time of infection and the appearance of anti-HCV antibodies or RNA. If the patient has very recently been exposed, as noted earlier, this would mean the patient should be retested for HCV antibodies within the next 6 months to rule out this possibility of the early window period. If the patient has a positive HCV antibody test and a negative HCV RNA test, it means the patient is not currently infected with HCV. And this can occur in one of two ways. Either the patient had an HCV infection that was cleared during acute infection spontaneously by the patient's immune response. This happens in between 15 and 35% of patients in the first 4 to 6 months after infection and is dependent on a number of factors, including the patient's genotype in terms of innate immunity, the so-called IL-28B locus, and whether or not they also have comorbidities such as HIV infection, which affect their level of overall immunity. It's also possible that these patients have been infected and been previously treated for their HCV infection. In this case, these patients will continue to have HCV antibodies, will no longer have HCV RNA. If they've been engaged in activities that could be associated with HCV transmission, though, they should have HCV RNA tests rerun in the next 6 months, because reinfection with HCV is quite possible after either spontaneous clearance of HCV or after clearance associated with antiviral therapy. It's important to let people know that even if they previously cleared the virus, they can be reinfected, and that risk behaviors place them at risk for these for reinfection. And if this occurs, they should seek retesting, this time with HCV RNA testing, because antibodies will continue to be present, and the only way to diagnose reinfection is to look for the appearance of HCV RNA in their plasma. Now, if a patient has a positive HCV antibody test and a positive HCV RNA test, you can tell them that they're HCV infected, and there are several things that are important to communicate to the patient about this. Firstly, they need to be evaluated by someone who can help them understand the severity of their liver disease, and to be given information about how not to accelerate the damage to their liver from their HCV infection. This includes things like cessation of alcohol use. It includes considerations such as vaccination for other hepatitis viruses like hepatitis B and hepatitis A. And it's important that these people are also at risk for other viruses that are transmitted by some of the same routes as HCV might be, particularly HIV and HBV. And these patients should generally be tested for these for infection with these agents as well. It's also important for them to realize that they're able to transmit the virus to other people. Most transmission occurs with bloodborne contamination with injecting drug use, but the virus can on occasion be transmitted sexually with heterosexual couples and is more likely to be transmitted in higher risk behaviors in which there is trauma at the site of the mucous membranes, analogous to some of the earlier transmission concerns with HIV in high-risk populations. And finally, it's important for them to know that we have improving treatments for HCV infection, and that if patients are treated for their infection, the virus will be cleared, and they will no longer be infected. The disease will stop progressing, but depending on how advanced your liver disease is at the time you are treated, you may still need to be monitored by a specialist for evidence of liver cancer and other late complications of HCV infection. But the important thing is that your disease driven by the virus will stop because you'll no longer be infected. If you have a negative HCV antibody test and a positive HCV RNA test, it's possible that you're in the window period, the patient's in the window period, in the first 6 to 12 weeks of HCV infection. And this is because HCV RNA appears in the blood before antibodies develop. If acute HCV infection is suspected, it's a good time to refer a patient relatively quickly to someone who has expertise in treating early HCV infection, because the virus is very sensitive to antiviral treatments during this period of time. You have a very high likelihood of clearing the virus relatively easily with currently available therapies. On occasion, people who are immunocompromised, people with advanced HIV infection, people on dialysis, will have HCV RNA, but will no longer have detectable antibodies. This is a bigger problem in the earlier days when the HCV antibody test had not improved to the stage that they have come to with the second and third generation tests. And finally, linkage to care. This is really the most important part of the cascade, because once you've detected someone who's HCV infected, the reason you began the testing in the first place is to get them in the hands of someone who can provide them the information that we just went over and who can link them to appropriate care for their infection. The newer HCV regimens and those that are currently in development, it's important to let people know, are associated with much higher successful treatment rates than the older generations of HCV therapeutics. They're much better tolerated. More and more often we can treat these, can use all oral regimens that don't include interferon. And treatment durations have been shortened from what used to be as long as a year to as short a period of time as 12 weeks. Patients should feel very good about the progress being made with HCV therapeutic research and should consult with someone about the likelihood that these therapies might benefit them. So in summary, contemporary diagnosis and management of HCV infection requires an understanding of the proper use of serological and molecular tools for the detection of HCV infection and for monitoring the response to therapy. HCV antibody tests are useful for the diagnosis of a prior or current HCV infection. HCV RNA assays are what are required to diagnose current infection and are used to monitor the success of HCV therapy. And finally, detection of HCV infection and linkage of those to care who are infected has the potential to substantially improve their quality and quantity of life and to reduce the risk of infection of other people.